Open your Bibles to 1 John. You got the Gospel of John. You got 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Well, it's 1 John. Then the book of Revelation. And if you don't have a Bible, look ashamed. Amen. If it's not a King James, for sure look ashamed. Look at 1 John 5. I want to read verse 4 and verse 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and verse 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you've been so good to us. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you that you've given us life up to this day. We thank you for all the blessings that have come our way. We want to give you thanks. We thank you, Lord, for the ability to come here today and meet and study around your word and listen to great hymns of the faith and have our hearts encouraged. We thank you for Christian brothers and sisters that will encourage us along the way. And Lord, I thank you for the word of God I have in my hands. I pray you'll give me a freedom and ease to speak it that only you can give, that you'll get honor and glory from it. You'll touch some heart and some life. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You want victory? The Bible tells you where there's victory. Right here in this verse gives you a great big flag, a great big sign, a great big statement. Look what he says. This is the victory that overcometh the world. Now, I tell you, the world's whipping an awful lot of people right now. Just look around. Look at the homes that are destroyed. Look at the kids that are destroyed. Look at the nation and the condition that it's in. Look at the moral condition that we see all around us. I tell you what, the world's winning. We're not winning the world. We're not overcoming the world like we ought to. And it's on an individual basis that it'll happen. But here's the victory. The Bible tells you where it is. This is the victory that overcometh the world, your willpower. No, that's not what it said. It didn't say you have enough willpower to overcome the world. I know some of you think that you're strong enough, you're young enough, or you work at it hard enough that you can do it. But let me tell you something. Satan's been wrestling with God for over 6,000 years. He's been fighting with God for over 6,000 years. I want you to think about something here. He's more powerful than you are. I'll tell you something else. Now, this is going to hurt your feelings, but he's smarter than you are. And even some of you spiritual people, he knows more about the Bible than you do. He knows this book. He knows how to quote verses out of it. He loves worship. He would like to take the place of God. The big thing Satan wants is he wants worship. He wants to be loved and bowed down to. He wants to be catered to and approved of. When you and I live for the world, and when you and I do what the world wants done, that's exactly what Satan gets. Amen. Now, if you're saved in here this morning, you're born again of the Spirit of God, and I'm not saying everybody is, but if you are, then you're safe and secure as far as eternity is concerned. Amen. Satan can't take you to hell. He can't steal your salvation because it's a gift of God. It's an eternal gift. It was given right now in the present tense, and it'll never cease. Let me tell you what he can do. He can steal your joy. He can make you the most miserable person on the face of the earth. And Brother Brian and I were talking about some people. He was talking about some people we've been visiting. I've visited some people that are just plain miserable. And you know why they're miserable? Not because they're living for God, because they're living for the world. Christians can live for the world and be as miserable as the lost world out there is. What about a victory? Can we get a victory? Is there a victory anywhere? Is there a victory for you? Bless your heart, there is.
Amen.
And the victory is by faith. It's not by your willpower. It's not by you memorizing so many verses. It's not by you doing so many good works. It's faith. You know what faith is? It's taking God at His Word. You take the Word of God, you believe it, you act upon it, you live by it, and that's faith. It's not enough just to say, I believe. You know, some people really believe. They believe for you. They believe for somebody else. They believe down the road. But when it comes to applying it to their own heart, the Word of God never fits them. Never fits them. Well, let me tell you what it does. And if you can read the Bible and it always is for somebody else, and if you can listen to sermons and they're always for somebody else, you're not listening.
Right. Amen.
The faith is taking God at His Word and knowing that there is a God in heaven that is so personal and so direct, He knows my name. He comes down and meets with me day by day. And when I open up His book, He speaks to my heart, sometimes with very strong conviction. Sometimes with just a little nudge. Just a little nudge. Just a thought back in the back of your head. Just a little thought back there. Is this the Lord? Well, you have to learn to decide when it's the Lord. Because you see, Satan's a spiritual being too, and he speaks the same way. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And let me tell you, religion can't give you that. Church membership can't give you that. Baptism can't give you that. And good works can't give you that. It's faith. Amen. It's faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The reason why we preach the Word of God is we preach it enough. We preach it long enough. You hear it enough. One of these days it's going to come down and ignite. And all of a sudden you've got faith. You believe. You believe, God, you trust God, you get saved, you get changed, your life gets changed, your family gets changed. There's a lot of blessings come your way. But the victory is faith. Now notice how he explains that in the next verse. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? I want you to know something. You need Jesus as your Savior.
Amen.
If you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ and you think you've got a better way, I want you to know you're sadly mistaken. What John is telling us right here is the same thing that Paul has told us in all of his epistles. It's salvation by faith, and it's in Christ. And once you have Christ, that's the seal of everything. The bottom line, the foundation of our salvation is not that we're better than the lost world. It's not that we're religious. It's that we placed our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did upon the cross of Calvary, that pays our debt.
Amen.
I'm going to heaven, and I'm proud to say it, although it's not pride in myself that is the cause of it. I'm proud of what Jesus did.
Amen.
I'm thankful Jesus died upon the cross for a sinner. I'm thankful He paid my entire debt. I'm thankful that I look to Jesus Christ. He's the one that died. He's the one that accomplished the work. And all I've got to do is brag on Jesus.
Amen.
That's my job. Bragging on Jesus. I'd like to tell the story of His marvelous works. I'd like to tell what He's done for me. I'd like to tell what He's done for others. I'd like to give you the promises that God Almighty has given. All because of what Jesus did. So there's nothing for me to glory in for myself, or for you to glory in yourself, but I can glory in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Turn to the book of Philippians. And I would like to show you a passage. Philippians chapter 1. I'll begin reading at verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet or suitable for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. And that's an absolutely beautiful passage of Scripture. Beautiful passage. He's writing to the church at Philippi. And the Apostle Paul is in a jail cell in Rome. And as he writes to these people at Philippi, he said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. You know, I'm thankful for good fellowship. I'm thankful I can meet with friends and we can just sit around and, boy, we've got a common bond. Why? We both love Jesus. We've all been saved by Jesus. Jesus paid my debt. Jesus paid your debt. We've got a fellowship. We've got a bond. We believe the same things. And it's sort of nice to walk. I've walked by myself a few times in my life. Sure have. That's not a lot of fun. Now, sometimes you have to do it, and sometimes you may be called upon it this very week to do it, but I want you to know it's a whole lot better to have a fellowship. And he looks back on that church at Philippi, and he said, every time I think of you, I give thanks to God. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. You got anybody like that in your life? You got anybody you can look to? You can say, man, I thank God for that testimony. I thank God for their faithfulness. I thank God for their witness. I look back and I think about the guy that came over to my house, just a friend in the service, came over to my house and said, Lendell, I want you to go to church with me. I just got saved. Won't you? Oh, sure, I'll go with you. I'm thankful for that friend that went over and got me just to go to church. Well, when I went to church, the preacher nailed my hide. I mean, we're sitting in an auditorium, maybe a little bigger than this one here. I'm sitting way back over at the back, and that preacher been talking to my wife, I know. How would he have known so much about me? I didn't know him. But he knew about me. He didn't know me from Adam. You know what he did? He just preached the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit knew me.
Right,
and the Holy Spirit took that Word and applied it to me. Every time I think of this person, this shy, sweet, new Christian, I thank God.
Amen.
I thank God. I thank God that he had the courage, or he had the desire, he had the burden on his heart for me, that he came after me. You know, I think about you. I thank God upon every remembrance of you. He said, always in every prayer of mine for y'all, making requests with joy. And he's making requests with joy. You know, sometimes when we pray, we have to make requests with sorrow. Because somebody's backslidden, because somebody's disobedient, somebody's rebellious, somebody's in sin, somebody's trashing this or trashing that. And boy, we make our request, we go before God, but it's not with joy. It's with sorrow. He said, boy, I'm making my request with joy. Praise God for that. I hope when they're praying for you, they're making it with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from first day to now. Now look at verse 6. This is especially the verse I want to speak about just a minute. Being confident. Now that's faith. Amen. You know what faith is? It's being confident. Of this very thing, I'm going to get specific. That he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I want you to think about that verse. Paul is saying about this group at Philippi, he left as young Christians. He said, I am confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a work in you. Who's that? That's God. If you know my confidence I have, I've preached to you, I've taught you, I got you started, and you know what confidence I've got? That God himself that began the work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's not going to lose you. You may fall flat, you may make a miserable mess, but God Almighty is going to hang on to you. Somebody talks about eternal security. Well, it doesn't always say eternal security in here, but this is a good eternal security verse. If God's begun a work in you, he's not going to lose you.
Amen.
Now, I sometimes get up and don't know where my glasses are. And I have to have glasses for everything. I almost need them in the shower. I've got to have glasses. They've got to be on. I can't walk outside without glasses because when they put that little false eye in, I get the false eye. I got two false eyes. Two plastic eyes. When they put this one in, they didn't put UV protection. But this one has got UV protection. I can't even go swimming without my glasses. I can't walk outside in the yard without my glasses. Got to have it because of that UV protection. Isn't it amazing? You know, we think of all the wonderful things that we've had, and I thank my God, boy, because I'm confident of this. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. I lose my glasses. I can lose the keys to my car. I have actually left a few of my kids in restaurants. I have actually done that. I guess we had so many. Hard to keep track. You start counting 1, 2, 3, 4, you know. Can't remember all their names. What kind of faith do you have in the power of the Lord over your life? Here's a verse. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, that's God. I lose my keys. I have wrecks. I stumble and fall. I forget names. I forget things. But God doesn't. God's never forgotten a single time. God's never lost his keys, never lost his power, never didn't know where you were or the condition that you were in. I've got confidence today that I may fail and you may fail, but God won't fail.
Amen.
God Almighty began a work in me 43 years ago. And you know what? I failed him time and time again. I've let him down time and time again. But he hasn't quit yet. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to keep on doing his work till he carries me all the way to glory. And though you've made a miserable mess, and that's a shame that you do, and you ought to repent of it, and you ought to do everything you could possibly do to walk with a clean life and a clean testimony, get out on your face and thank God today that God began the work in you, that it wasn't the preacher that began the work, that it wasn't the church that began the work, it wasn't the world that began the work, it was God, the Holy Spirit, that began the work in your heart, and what He did, He will finish.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God for a God that finishes. Now, look over in chapter 3 of Philippians. Chapter 3 and verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Here's Paul in a jail cell. He's an old man. He started a lot of churches. He's preached to a lot of people. He's seen some people make it, and he's seen some people trashed. You can read about it in his epistles. He'll tell you about it. He said, I count not myself to have apprehended. I don't count myself to have arrived. Have you arrived? You still reaching? That's what Paul said. Here's a man right down to the end of his ministry. At least had a full ministry behind him. And he's writing to this church of younger Christians, and he says, I don't count myself to have apprehended the prize. I don't count myself to have finished the course. I don't count myself to have done it all and arrived. Let me tell you what, the day you get to that place, that's the day you're setting up for a fall. It's a terrible thing, but old people can sure get backslidden too. I could carry you around to places inside this town where people who used to teach Sunday school, the people who used to witness, who people who used to bring people to church, they don't do it anymore. What happened? Something happened. Something happened. And some of them were so faithful, they thought they'd arrive. They thought they knew it all. They thought they could teach others. And they were doing teaching others. And yet, bless your heart, they're sitting on their duff doing nothing. They're not praising God. They're not serving God. They're not witnessing for God. They're not even doing what they used to do. Here's Paul. I think one of maybe the greatest Christian that ever lived. Maybe. Some people's estimation. Sitting in a jail cell, he said, I don't count myself to arrive. He said, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those which are before. Now let me qualify this for a minute. If you got some things behind in your life that need to be repented of, then don't forget them. Repent of them.
Amen.
You hear me? You got some old debts you need to pay. You got some apologies you need to make. You got a brother you need to get reconciled with. You got something you need to get taken care of. Then get up and go take care of it.
Amen.
If you haven't called mom or daddy in a long time, maybe it's time to call mom or daddy and say, I'm sorry, forgive me. He's not saying forget everything. Sometimes there's some things you've got to get out of the way or you simply can't go forward.
That's right.
But let's say we leave that part out. We understand that there's a place for repentance in every Christian's life. In fact, you don't go forward without repentance.
Right.
I don't care who you are. You're not good enough not to have something to repent of.
Right.
And you're not going to go forward in your life without repenting and taking care of bad things you've done. You think you can just walk away from them and forget them. You're mistaken. They'll come back to bite you. They'll come back to haunt you. There's some things just have to be taken care of. But here's a man who's done a tremendous ministry. He's taught preachers. He's started churches. He's preached the gospel in places where nobody had ever preached it before. He's had a real ministry, and he's sitting day by day in his own house, a prison house. He's under house arrest, witnessing to what people that come to him, teaching what people that come to him. Must have seemed like a very small ministry in comparison to some of the ministries he's had. Must have seemed like something a little bit light, man. I really can't get out a whole lot. I can't go do what I want to do. I can't go visit who I want to visit. But wherever God brings me, who he brings to me, I'll give him my testimony. I'll teach him the word. And as he's thinking about that, he says, I haven't apprehended. I haven't finished the course. I haven't attained. I haven't arrived. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Problem with being an old man is you live a lot in the rear, behind. Because most of your life's already been lived. There's some things I'm not going to do anymore. Every once in a while, one of Steve or Brian will bring up something and say, I've done that. And, you know, well, that's a discouragement to them because they say, I want to do this, you know. Go ahead, but I'm not going to do it. Why? Because I'm an old man and I've done it. I knew how to fail back then. I guess I can know how to fail right now. But at any rate, what Paul said here was, forgetting those things which are behind, how are you going to go forward if all you do is live in the past?
That's right.
How are you going to build a godly marriage if all you do is live in the failures of the past? Forget them. Start over. Start anew with God's blessing. Okay, you messed up on your older kids. Does that mean you got to let the rest of them go to the devil? Well, start again. Forget those things which are behind. How about your successes? I watched some of the Olympics. You watch any Olympics? I like the Olympics. I get caught up in these people that are so dedicated and so disciplined and pay such a price and then cry because they're 1/100th of a second behind number one gold. They're the second fastest in the world. And they're only behind the goal by 1/100th of a second. Wow. How about that discipline? Win that silver, you win that bronze. You hang it around your neck. And the rest of your life, all that you can think about your life is, I'm a gold medal winner. I'm a silver medal winner. I'm a bronze medal winner. I was an Olympic athlete. Hey, there's things beyond the Olympics.
Amen.
The Olympics isn't the end. No, it might be a great accomplishment as far as the world is concerned, and it might be honorable in every way, but bless your heart, there's a lot more to life than whatever you may have done in the past. So what if you were a great football player or a basketball player? So what if you were a great preacher or you were a great Sunday school teacher? That's past. What are you going to live for now? Just the past. Forgetting those things which are behind. You're still in the present. You reach forth to the things that are before you. Here's an old man sitting in his own prison house, teaching what few people that come to him, writing letters to the churches. Thank God he wrote those letters to the churches. And he said, though I'm here, and he could have listed accomplishments that would, well, just read some of the things he did.
Amen.
Read over there in 2 Corinthians. He said he was beaten with rods. He was beaten 39 times with the lash. He did that 5 times. He was shipwrecked in the deep and all of the different things that God, why, he was taken out of the city and stoned and left for dead. They said, boy, that finished that old man off. And he walked back in and a rock started moving here, another rock moved there, another rock moved in, and bloody and bruised and whatever. He got up and said, let's go to another city. Man, he could have some stories to tell. My, what a history he had with God. But he said, I'm not going to live there.
Amen.
I'm not living in the past. I'm not living on my laurels. I'm not living on my successes. I'm not going to be discouraged by my failures. The past is the past. Let the past stay the past. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to reach for the goal.
Amen.
I guess there's something I want to tell you this morning is by faith reach for the goal.
Amen.
I want the prize. You know what those guys are doing? I I watched the women's triathlon. They swam a long way in the ocean. They got out and got on a bicycle and rode it 25 miles. They run that bicycle up, put it into its slot, and put on their running shoes and run 10 miles. I said, ooh, no, not for me. I'm not in that shape. No, never was. On my best day, I could not have done what they did. I wasn't built for running. Can you tell? God just didn't make me. I'm just not built for running. They're reaching for a prize. Do you know the guts, the discipline, the drive that you have to go for a prize like that? They've got to have a tremendous drive. Well, let me tell you something. What Paul's talking about right here, you have to have a tremendous drive. You know why? Because everything in the world discourages you. Your work discourages you. Your friends discourage you. The church discourages you. Preachers even will discourage you. Your husband will discourage you. Your wife will discourage you. Your best friend will discourage you. And the devil will see to it that whoever hurts you most will do it. He's got his ways. We're in a war. We're in a race. This life we're living is a race to win the prize of the approval of God. You know what? I look around this town. We have our own mission field. We don't have to go anywhere to find lost souls.
That's right.
Poor, lost religious souls bound in their stupidity and idolatry and bad doctrine and bad training. Bound in it. You're looking for something to do. There's plenty of people to talk to.
That's right. Amen.
Some of them ought to be able to get saved. I got saved. You got saved. If I got saved and you got saved, surely some of them can get saved. Well, how about forgetting how good you used to be?
Amen.
And by the way, the older I get, the better I was. You understand?
Amen.
The older I get, the better I used to be. See, if you keep retelling the story over and over again, you can stretch it a little bit. And after you've told it so long, you'll believe it. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things that are before, I press towards the mark for the prize. You know the problem is? We can't just sit down and quit now.
That's true. Amen.
We can't just sit down and quit. Okay, we've sent a lot of missionaries to the mission field. Look back there, he sent almost $3 million to the mission field. Praise God. Are there more fields? Are there more young people to surrender? Are there more people to serve God?
Amen.
Oh yes, there's plenty of opportunity. But we got to forget what's going behind and by faith reach out for a prize today.
Amen.
I press towards the mark. I keep on going. I've got a goal. I've got a purpose. I want to please God. I want to serve God. I want to see another lost soul saved. I want to see somebody else surrender to preach the gospel. I want to see somebody else say, I want to go to a foreign field and serve God somewhere. I want to see another family get right with God. I want to see somebody rejoicing in the Lord. I want to see some revival in people's hearts. Well, the way you do it is you forget whatever's behind. And you press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Go back to that first verse, 1 John 5:4. 1 John 5:4. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. I want to say to you here today, if you're here and you're lost, you're not saved, you have not trusted Christ as your Savior as yet, this is the way to victory. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You need to believe in Jesus Christ. You need to commit your life to Him, surrender your life to Him, ask Him to have mercy upon Him and on you and save your soul. My Christian friend, I don't know where you are, but most of us as Christians are stagnant where we are. We've been here a while. But God didn't create us to be stagnant and sit around like a bunch of guppies in a mud hole.
That's true.
God wanted us to be soldiers of faith. To take the Word of God and reach out and do the will of God.
Amen.
May God touch your heart that you might forget the things which are past and reach forth to the things that are before and claim the prize in what time God gives you.
Amen.
Number 249, we're going to stand and sing it. 249, if God's spoken to your heart, this altar's open for whatever decision you might have to make. How about some victory in the rest of your life? Victory from here on in. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to preach it. We pray that you'd use your word by the power of the Holy Spirit to touch a lost soul that it might be saved. You'd touch each one of us as Christians. Give us victory in our lives. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Amen.